the show this week. Hello, folks. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. That was Great Things by Echo Belly from their 1995 album On, that I'm playing a little bit of this week just to get us started here on the Yellow Brick Road, CFRC's British and Irish music show. I'm your host, Rue, and I thought we could start off with a little bit of this album On, just because it came out now almost 30 years ago. It came out in November 1995, so we're coming up to the 30-year anniversary, and the band's been doing reissues of the album, as you do with all the remasters and everything, and they've been out on tour. Actually, they've been playing around the UK to full theatres, and the song that we just listened to is called Great Things. That I think is one of their best-selling singles anyway, because it got up to number 13 in the UK album, UK singles charts, and this album itself got up to number 4. So definitely one of their best albums that they ever released. And the name apparently came from singer Sonia Madan seeing a poster that just said No in big caps on it, and they kind of flipped it backwards and they were looking at it from this positive side instead, you know. On Echo Belly, one of the cooler Britpop bands from the period, one of the few of the Britpop bands during that very lad-centric era that actually focused on women, which is interesting because I think some of the best singles, best releases to come out of that period were by bands like Elastica and Echo Belly, Sleeper, Lush, and a lot of them were also really successful. And, you know, it couldn't have been easy being a woman in the press during that time as well. And a lot of the women in those bands have sort of dropped out of music entirely. So I'm glad to see that Echo Belly are still here and, you know, they're pushing on. 30 years on, they're still, you know, this time around playing to sold out theatres, sold out ballrooms, and I'm hoping that this feels and looks like a lot more of a celebration of who they were. So you can find all details of, you know, the album, the releases, all of that stuff, the tour at echobelly.com. But we'll be talking quite a bit more about legacy and celebrations and all that on the show tonight. If you've been around town in Kingston, as I had, and if you hadn't gone home for reading week, you'll have seen it all around town. Local musical heroes The Wilderness called it time on the band this week with two final farewell shows in Kingston. Is this a goodbye forever? Is it temporary? We don't know. I don't think the band themselves know this. But after 10 years of incredible music, live shows, so many tours and catharsis and memories, it was curtains down at the Broom Factory on Thursday and Friday this week. I went down to Kingston because I live in Toronto now, but I had to go for that final show. It was so, so very worth it. So I'll tell you all about that Friday night as the show goes on. I'm pre-recording today's show on Saturday night, Sunday morning. I only got back from Kingston this morning, Saturday morning, at 6 in the morning. I'd do it all again in a heartbeat. The reason I'm pre-recording a day early, though, is because I'm seeing friend of the show, Masterpiece, Sunday night at 8 p.m. So I will simply be dancing out to some of the most exciting and fun new indie sleaze at the Drake Underground in Toronto. I can't wait for that. If you'd like to know more about him, though, he has been on this show. He put out an incredible debut album last year called How to Make a Masterpiece. He joined us on the show to talk all about it, and that was a year ago, so it's not in the CFRC archives. But if you just look up the Yellow Brick Road podcast, you can find that interview from last year. But we're talking about legacy and such on the show because there are a few other notable events in music that have happened this week that we're going to be talking about. Firstly, the Mercury Prize happened. You know, it was really anyone's call. There were some really strong nominations. We walked through all 12 nominees, and the winner was Sam Fender, who we're going to be playing a little bit off on the show, and I have a lot of thoughts about it. We've also had the band from New York City called Geese, who've been having a really big moment in music. We went to the show, a friend of mine, Owen, and I, and we reviewed it. Owen photographed the show, and we have a lot of thoughts on that too, so we'll be talking about that in the second half hour. But they're not the only band with a lot of expectations on them at the moment. So let's dive into some British and Irish bands that have had new releases recently. In fact, here's one from just this Friday. The Last Dinner Party's second album, From the Pyre, is out now. It's a follow-up to their huge debut, A Prelude to Ecstasy. The first album took a more kind of theatrical, almost Queen-like approach to writing and maximalism. The second album seems to be a lot more eclectic. Some songs have taken a more lush approach to instrumentation, you know, there are more strings on it, and there's some things like, you know, with the violins and everything, it makes me think a little bit of their contemporaries, artists like the New Eves, slightly pagan, slightly folky in their sound. On songs like Second Best, which they played on the first tour when we saw them last year at Queen Elizabeth Theatre in Toronto. In general, though, I can definitely see a big influence by the band Sparks on this band, and they did cover Sparks live quite a bit last year. And you can see that, you know, there's such a big influence on their writing on songs like Second Best and Count the Way. And there are songs like the lead single, This Is the Killer Speaking, which are much more open indie pop. But I'm also seeing touches of, you know, Arctic Monkeys lounginess on it, in the delivery, in the bass work. There's a kind of swagger, you know, to it. And songs like Rifle also have this prog rock touch to it that actually makes me think of bands like Muse and songs like Citizen Erased. I haven't had a chance to go listen to the full album yet, so we'll probably return to this in a few weeks' time and play some more songs that I find are really interesting. But we are going to listen to the song Count the Ways. The band will be in Toronto next year. I hear that tickets go on sale next week, so go check that out. They're playing Massey Hall sometime in 2026. And then, like I said, we're going to play some music from Sam Fender, who I saw a couple of weeks ago in Toronto. He was playing the final date of his North American tour, you know, and just singing those choruses of grief and catharsis and all of that. It's the same thing that I say about The Wilderness, really, but it's this collective uplifting. And when you're singing together, you know, songs like Something Heavy, I noticed that Sam almost kind of broke into a bit of a laugh because, you know, it's this weight off your shoulder. There's something about singing about all this extremely personal, or sometimes for some, grief with 8,000 people. You know, it's an incredible feeling, and he's a very, very good performer, and we'll talk about him at the Mercury's really shortly. But he announced a deluxe version of his album, People Watching. He says that since this album took a lot longer to be released, you know, the last one, 17 Going Under, was in 2022, he's written many more songs since then. 8 more songs are on the deluxe version of the album that's coming out in December. The first of them released this Friday with none other than Elton John. He's released Talk To You, which he did perform live, and that's what we're going to be listening to. You can find him at samfender.com. Let's start with The Last Dinner Party. This is Count the Ways on CFRC Radio. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to CFRC Radio, Yellow Bridge Road. We're bringing you all the best in new British and Irish music. So we heard a bit of Sam Fender collaboration with none other than Elton John on those keys out there. We also heard a little bit of the new album by The Last Dinner Party. The song we heard was Count Our Ways, Count the Ways. And that was the one that I thought had a bit of an Arctic Monkey swagger to it, if you will. But speaking of Sam Fender, he was also one of the 12 shortlisted artists at the Mercury Prize this year, and that's something that I want to be talking a little bit about. If you listened to the show sometime last month when the nominations, the shortlist came out, we did do a deep dive into every album on that list, and he was the winner of this year's Mercury Prize, and I have quite a few thoughts on it. Firstly, you know, the ceremony this year was held in Newcastle. It's the first time it's been hosted outside of London, outside of Abbey Road Studios and all of that. And I think this was prompted by the fact that last year's winners, English Teacher, were the first band in over 10 years to be from outside of London and win the event. So this time, you know, it was in Newcastle. We were kind of going in with this expectation that the underdogs had just won it, you know, English Teacher. And Newcastle, also a bit of an underdog. It's an interesting city for music. It's got an interesting history. The Northeast in general, you know, it's kind of post-industrial cities with a lot of unrest that was maybe quietening down a little bit by the mid-1990s, which is what Sam Fender's talked about quite a bit in a few interviews. And now there's a small bustling music scene in the area, but all very underground. And of late, you know, things like Music City Sunderland are taking initiative to nurture talent in the area, and obviously Sam himself being from South Shields and becoming so successful has been really inspiring to a lot of local kids in thinking that they don't have to move to London to be successful. And you know, he's a local hero. Just this summer, again, he played St. James's Park, the Newcastle City football stadium. 50,000 people this summer, and you know, it's a big move Assam included, but also the Mercury Prize, to take a national art event of this level to the city. I personally couldn't have picked a winner. You know, there were a few surprise omissions, I thought. You know, I thought maybe Obong Jair would have been in with a shout with his album that came out this May. He wasn't nominated. Neither were Lambrini Girls, Lava LaRue, Courting from their album from last year, or even the one from this year. Kneecap, whose debut album was a really big deal. Bands like Wonder Horse, artists like Little Sims, who won it in 2022. The Welsh band Adwaith, who released their double album Solas. Benefits also had a really good album. Artists like Lice and Dead Letter, I thought, were also maybe in for it with a shout. So the list was somewhat expected, but, you know, there were a few outside curveballs, like the instrumental piano and jazz album from Joe Webb, which you can hear me playing as bed music right now. Him and his trio of musicians, the album was called Hamstrings and Hurricanes. And of course, English folk legend Martin Carthy being nominated. I don't think a folk album like that has ever been nominated. And I think a lot of people thought the winner might be either CMAT or Fontaines DC. Never in the 33-year existence of the Mercury Prize has there been an Irish winner, and Irish music really has been at the forefront of musical conversation across the globe in the last couple of years. So that's what we thought. CMAT released an incredibly topical album to Ireland right now, and Fontaines, of course, with Romance, they were really the moment. And Sam Fender also said that when he was being asked about it, about his win afterwards. And you know, the cultural impact of an album is also a big consideration for the Mercurys. But there is a lot of cultural significance to Sam's album People Watching. As always, there's a healthy dose of realism, and Sam's really processing grief, joy, sadness, resilience in everyday life through these lyrics. You can kind of see it in real time as the song was being written. It's a very personal album as well, but it's about Sam and by extension his home of South Shields in Newcastle. On the song People Watching, he talks about a mentor of his, Annie Owen, who used to mentor him almost at an almost youth centre drama programme that he used to attend as a kid in Shields, and you know, he couldn't focus on everything, and she almost sort of gave him direction, is how he talks about her. And he and a lot of his friends from home were taking care of her towards the end of her life in a care home. And so, you know, it's kind of reflecting not just on his personal experience, but, you know, the state of the NHS and care work workers in the UK in general. And then there are songs like TV Dinner, Remember My Name, that are so personal for him as well. Then songs like Crumbling Empire, which reflects, you know, not just Newcastle but a lot of other post-industrial derelicts and cities, and obviously the former British Empire itself more broadly. And as always, his commentary is exact and cutting and littered with examples so concise and clear that you will have no doubt, you'll never doubt that he knows exactly what he's talking about. And hearing that coming from a working class voice is so powerful, and it's also so important, especially because Sam himself was talking so much about how there are fewer and fewer working class artists that are able to break through today. So his win, and his win happening in Newcastle itself, is going to inspire so many kids from the region to pick up a guitar today, and we'll be seeing the benefits of that in 5 to 10 years time. And I think a lot of kids are going to look back on this moment from his victory speech, which was broadcast on national television on BBC 4.
And I love this region is the best region in the country.
So sure, Sam has managed to become very successful, especially in the UK. He's no longer kind of a small artist compared to a lot of the nominees on that list. And it's obviously a very, very big moment for him to win at home. But it cannot in the least be called undeserved. So here's to that. And here's to all the new and emerging artists from everywhere, London and outside of it, that are coming up right now, who have been in the position Sam was in once and will go on to do as great things as him. So let's listen to some music and we'll come back and talk about it. This is a new teenage band from Cardiff called Shale. The song is Work Dog.
Deep dive. sure. I can feel so much better. Drinks feel like they fix themselves. It's a real blissless, dirty health. A man's not crushing under pressure. I can feel so much better. I'll be realistic, demand the impossible. Being successful is being uncomfortable. You're a work dog. You're a work dog.
So I'd be for my your baby. I still got all the texts that you sent me and some more.
There from Masterpiece. That's a bit of a throwback, Start You Up. Like I said, I am seeing him this week, so I just thought I'd throw back to that first album because it's so catchy, it's so good. He's got a new song out called Spin the Block that came out just a couple of weeks ago, which is also really, really fun. And I've got to tell you about the bands that we played on the show earlier. So like I said, we were playing a band from Cardiff called Shale. They just released their debut self-titled EP in April. Really good. It's a mix of punchy, punky alt rock with some glitzy psychedelia and jangly indie guitars on some of those tracks. So this was they released their first tracks as teenagers. All of this led up to this EP, and I love the lyrics on their song Work Dog that we just heard. You can find them at Shale, S-H-A-L-E, shale.band. Then we heard some music from Della XOZ. That's an artist from London, Daniela, who goes by the name D-E-L-L-A X-O-Z. She's an indie rock musician. She has a new single out called Sleeping Away My Prime. It's quite math rocky in its musical feel, and it's about feeling guilty about that time when you know you're, she says, bed rotting and wasting away your youth, but you can only just watch it happen. It's a really fun track. We also heard, obviously, some Masterpiece. You can find him on his website, Master. PEACEofficial.com, and go check out the interview we did with him because he's really, really great. We've got some indie jazz coming up for you on the show. There's a big collaboration that's just dropped. It's British Bengali jazz musician Tara Lilly, and another artist who's been on the show. Actually, we spoke to her last year when she had some EPs on the way. She has a new track, a collaboration with none other than King Cruel. It's taken from her upcoming EP, Quiet Nights, bracket Early Takes. That's out on the 7th of November. And there's some really, really good stuff to look forward to on that EP. This first one is just really atmospheric and moody and also really calming. Like, it feels like you're in the eye of the storm. She says, Quiet Nights are some of the early sketches from a deadly, quiet and beautiful period of time. For myself, it was a time of stripping back, drawing down into the ground and channeling something raw and real. You can find her at T-A-R-A-L-I-L-Y, taralily.bandcamp.com. And then I've got some new music from Bar Italia. Their new album's just come out, Some Like It Hot. It's the debut album. They're coming to Canada on tour soon, and it seems like there's a lot of hype for this. It's next month on the 25th of November. They're playing Montreal's Club Soda. And then 2 days later, they're in Toronto on the 27th, playing at the Concert Hall. You can find it at baritalia.bandcamp.com. I'm going to be playing us the first song from the album that I really like. It's called Fundraiser. But let's start off with Tara Lilly. This is Tropical Storm, featuring King Cruel on CFRC Radio, Yellow Brick Road.
Just won't let me go. I stay.
Enjoyed that. That was a new song from Barataglia. The album's just dropped, Some Like It Hot. The song we heard is called Fundraiser. It's actually just incredible stuff. I'm really looking forward to that show. They're coming to Toronto and Montreal at the end of next month, as are a lot of artists, so there's a lot of that to look forward to. We also heard some music from Tara Lilly, who's just released a song with King Cruel called Tropical Storm. Also just a really beautiful track. And I want to talk a bit about the Wilderness Show. And that sigh is me wondering, where do I even begin with this band? Like, the presence that they've had in Kingston, on the Kingston music scene over the last 10 years, has been absolutely immense. I work with a lot of upcoming younger musicians who are just starting out in their musical careers. Did for a really long time with live sessions as well. And you do kind of see that the Wilderness kind of become this blueprint of how to go about doing things independently in music in Kingston. And so when they decided to call it quits after 10 years as a band, obviously it's a big moment for them. It's a big moment for their fans who've stuck with them over a decade. And it's a big moment almost for the city, because, you know, every time I've heard people talking about the Wilderness lately, and especially in the context of looking back on their career and everything now, it's always just felt like you're talking about more than just the band. It ends up becoming something of a love letter to the city, to the people here, to the music scene, and everyone that makes it what it is. Because The Wilderness have always been really good at wearing their colors on their sleeve and weaving the city that's made them into a lot of their songs, into, you know, the music and soul, the places, the venues, the roads that they've driven down, the people that they've worked with, that have supported them, that have inspired them. And when that's not in the songs themselves, a band member, usually Nick or Jonas, will be more than happy to tell you in between songs, you know. They played songs like, they've written songs like 81 South, and they referenced venues that they've played at that don't exist anymore. And I came down to Kingston for the final show on Friday, and you stand there in that spot at the Broom Factory, and it's almost like I'm looking at the show, but I'm also looking at it through the eyes of me having seen them a year ago, last October, with our live sessions team, and then the year before that as well, with friends who are not in Kingston anymore, as I am not either. And it's not just that moment, but, you know, it's like I'm back to standing in the now defunct Blue Martini for the band's album release show, and it's like I'm watching Jonas crowd surfing over my head, or walking on the bar in that show. I'm suddenly back to the Ale House, where I saw them for the first time over Spring Reverb 2023, the second ever edition of the festival, and kind of when we started to see that this was really something that could carry on and become a big part of a mainstay of Kingston music. And you know, it just also reminds me of standing around there for the first time, watching these guys, the smoke machine in my face, the lights and everything, and just thinking, oh my God, you can be a professional band from Kingston, Ontario, you know? And so I'm seeing this band through all these different times and just realizing kind of how woven they are into Kingston's musical experience for me. I'm looking at them through the eyes of posters of them, you know, from the first times I had ever heard of them, from like the Mansion back in 2019 when I was finally old enough to go to gigs and like 19 plus venues. And I'm sure there are so many other people who've been with them for so much longer who have their own memories and own moments, and they've sort of been reviewing the whole lives distilled through the music of a band that I think we were all so sure we'd be seeing at Scotiabank Arena in 5 years' time, or the Air Canada Centre if you're old. But yeah, it was an incredible show. Obviously, there were a lot of emotions, so many different people, so many different memories. I think Jonas got into the crowd with his mic stand for the entirety of their song Strangers I Used to Love. Ironically, in a room full of people to whom the Wilderness are no mere strangers anymore, you know, people who've lived and loved through the Wilderness over 10 years of music. And you know, it's just, there were big moments to talk about. I think you could give me 30 minutes on radio and I still probably wouldn't be able to get through all of it. So I'm not going to attempt to do that. What I am going to tell you, though, is that there was a lot of love in the room. There were a lot of emotions in the room, a lot of memories. And they had this, like some fans in the crowd had this sign, just I think signed by fans, with all of the things that mean so much to them that they held up during the show. And they had the little call-in section during the encore where, as the band walked off stage, they had these recorded phone call voice messages that were left to them just saying how much the band meant to them. And it was a big emotional moment. There was also a moment where I think someone was so overwhelmed by what was going on that they actually passed out and we had to get a paramedic in. All this is just to say, you know, this is not going to be a show that we will forget anytime soon. And just to kind of wrap all of this up, I'm going to play maybe the one song that can encapsulate what happened that night and over the last 10 years best. As the Wilderness have put it themselves, Complicated Feelings, the final song released by the band after their whole February touring fiasco happened. It is complicated. It is bittersweet. It is what it is. We're going to play that, and then I'm going to change the mood completely with some music by a Bristol band called My First Time, who've put out a single called Body Bag. It's so incredibly different, I couldn't tell you about it right now, so we'll come back and talk about it. This is The Wilderness, Complicated Feelings. Rest in peace, The Wilderness forever.
I know you're thinking, yes, I'm still listening. those swords. But if you're lucky, I can fill them up with something more. You have a thought, I've thought it before, you can recollect it. I am a false alarm, that final wake-up call. And it's been 7 years, Daniel, your life's a fucking fraud. I am a stick milkshake, drank through a paper straw. I am a baseball bat that strikes you in your fucking jaw. I am a silent creeper, I am a deep sleeper. I am the sludge, the slime, the slop, a bottom barrel feeder.
So that was a Bristol band called My First Time. This was a single of theirs called Body Bag. It's not the latest single that they've put out. They've put out another one called Sippy Cup, which you should go check out. But this single is so insane. You know, you can just hear the strain where their singer's singing it through almost gritted teeth. It's very like The Dare and dripping with glitz and sleaze, and it belongs in the nightclubs. And it's like single of the week for me quite easily. Very different from The Wilderness, but you can find them at My First Time, spelled My number one, stfirsttime.bandcamp.com. And of course, before that, we heard a bit of The Wilderness after their final live shows, which I'm still recovering from. And now we're going to go into the Geese thing. So Owen and I went to Geese. We reviewed the show for you, and you can enjoy listening to that for the next half hour with some music. Here we go. I'll see you all next week. Goodbye. Right, so we're back on the Elbert Road, and we've been out and about in town this week. So Owen and I, and let me actually introduce Owen to the show.
Yes, please.
We met at Fontaine's DC.
About a year ago. Almost a year exactly from a couple days ago, I think.
And I think we've run into shows we've run into each other at a couple of shows since.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that we were going to try and do like a full proper radio thing for the Geese show. So we went out there, we've seen the show, we've come back with all the thoughts. Now, I know this isn't normally a band that we would play on this show because notably they're from New York City, but I just feel like, not the UK, not Ireland, but they're kind of a band that's getting about everywhere right now. Mm-hmm. Like they have been sort of the hyped band of this year, really, or really since last year, since their singer Cameron Winter's solo album started to really blow up. And they released their third album, wasn't it, just now, just this month, called Getting Killed. And I feel like this is the album that has sort of taken them from being just a post-punk band, just an indie band, to being like the band of the moment. Because can we like quickly go over who they are and like what their music has been so far?
Yeah, I mean, I only have become familiar with them in the last 2 or 3 years. I think I heard parts of their last album, 3D Country, when it came out in 2023. Mm-hmm. But kind of like everybody else, I ended up taking the Cameron Winter pill late last year, early this year. And it's just, I mean, it's an amazing album. Anyone who's listened to it will tell you the same thing. Anyone who's listening right now will tell you the same thing. It's just a really excellent album. He has such a way of speaking, and he has such a very unique voice, both in terms of singing and also